The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague and friend, Roy Saunderson, and we're from Rideau's Recognition Management Institute. Roy, we've had this guest on before, but she is amazing, and I'm delighted and excited to say she's back with us again.
Well, I tell you, if you ever want to learn, I mean, I think synonymous with culture comes Zappos, not the other way around.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true.
And I think we're going to learn a lot more from our wonderful guests who we've had on the show before. It's wonderful.
Well, you're absolutely right. Our guest today is Jamie Naughton. And for those who haven't heard that show in the past, I highly recommend you get a chance to do that. But, you know, Zappos is a company that's been talked about a lot. I mean, it's kind of up there, you know, with many of the other big companies, great companies to work for. How do we take that further? I have a feeling we're going to go further today.
Good stuff.
And this is the crazier part. Jamie has a new title, which we're going to talk about today as well. Jamie is now Speaker of the House. Last time, I believe you were cruise director. Wasn't that correct, Jamie?
Well, close. Cruise ship captain.
Cruise ship captain. Thank you. That's right. The cruise ship captain. But Speaker of the House, I mean, this is serious. Jamie joined Zappos in 2004, right after the company relocated from the Bay Area to Las Vegas. And as Speaker of the House, she works directly with Tony Hsieh, focusing on the culture for which the company has become known. Her role is essential in creating and driving the architecture of the dynamic culture, as well as focusing on the culture R&D to ensure that Zappos.com always stays relevant to both the employees and their customers. And she travels the country to work with world-renowned companies, authors, researchers, business leaders to help spread the concept that by focusing on your employees and customers, then good companies can become legendary companies. Jamie, I am delighted you'd come back and join us again.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We are so happy. A lot of changes for you. How are things going?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind couple of years since we last spoke. Everything is great, and every day at Zappos is an exciting challenge. So the last 2 years have lived up to that. Every day is something different.
Well, culture has always been really, really important at Zappos. But do you feel like things have evolved as you've gotten bigger and, you know, with the Amazon acquisition? I mean, just it's always evolving. So how have things changed?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, I always say your values should stay the same, but your culture should evolve as, you know, things change in your company. As your company gets bigger, you start doing different things. But the Amazon acquisition, which closed in 2009, was a big moment for us at Zappos. And Tony and the team did a really good job of working out a deal with Amazon where it's kind of a hands-off. So there's no real signage in our building about Amazon. We're still run very independently. I would say less than 5% of the company has any day-to-day dealings with Amazon as our parent company. So it's it's gone really well, and they're true to their word. They've left us alone, and the only challenges that have come up with the acquisition is that we went from being private to a public company, and of course there's lots of laws and things that affect our ability to be transparent. So we've worked through those, and I think we're doing really, really well.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of public companies actually cite that as one of the reasons why they may not have the dynamic culture that maybe private companies have. But you've made that transition. Would you say that it's changed the way you treat people?
Absolutely not. I think, you know, Amazon understands our commitment to our culture and they're supportive of that. They don't really stand in our way. They let us do what we think is right for our employees and for our customers. So I don't think being public has impacted our culture to any great extent. It's very basic things like, you know, a few years ago, if you would have asked me, how much did you make last year in net sales, I'd be able to tell you. And now that we're kind of bundled up into the Amazon budget and records, we're not allowed to exactly say how much we make per year. But mm-hmm. those are very simple things that don't impact our culture. We've made a commitment to trust our employees, that we can tell our employees what we're making, what we're doing, things that we can't tell the public, but we trust our employees that they will keep that to themselves.
Sure, sure. So there's some transparency within, and then from a public perspective, it's changed a little bit because it has to, but you're saying culture remains the same.
Right.
So it's still a crazy, zany place.
Yeah, and I think it's about managing risk, and you know, we push back sometimes, and again, I can't say enough about Amazon and the partnership we've had with them. They've really helped us accelerate our growth, and if anything, our culture is stronger because of the relationship we have with Amazon.
Well, I've always enjoyed everything I've read about this relationship and why the transition and everything else. I was fascinated with this new title you have, and well, I kind of gave it up, you know, in the bio as to what your main focus is. Can you tell us what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so there's an interesting story. The last time we talked, I was cruise ship captain. I was overseeing a department within our HR team, which we called cruise ship operations, that focused on culture and events and engagement and things of that nature. And that was a department I actually built and grew from my early days at Zappos. And so a few years ago, with the direction the company was going, there was a lot more things going on. I was taking on more and more stuff within my role, and Tony and I sat down about where do I want to go, what's my future look like, and he prompted all these questions and made me think really hard about what I wanted to be when I grew up, I guess. And then he asked if I wanted to leave HR and come work for him directly. And a lot of people think that this would be an easy decision for me to make, like who wouldn't want to take that opportunity. But it did pose some challenges to me that I've spent the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years working in an HR team and kind of focused on a role in HR. So the thought of leaving that as a career was really scary to me. And so he said, why don't you create a job description of doing everything that you love and nothing that you don't?
Wow.
And so over the course of a few months, we kind of came up with a job description. And honestly, I don't even remember what was on that job description now. But so we did, and I moved over to his team. My title doesn't... Basically, HR had emailed Tony and said, "What do you want her title to be?" And he didn't respond. And they had to put something in the system. So I have HR to thank for my title. And
You have a lot of love internally. I know that from the last time we spoke.
So I took the leap of faith and I left HR and I started. Tony at the time didn't have any direct reports, so I was his only direct report. And I made a promise that he's a great boss, but he doesn't really like managing people. I'm like, you won't have to manage me. So I started with him, and the next day we announced our downtown project. And so I took that pretty little job description I had written and set it aside, and I've never looked at it since, and have just kind of taken on this evolving project. We're undertaking the largest project Zappos has ever seen. It's about a $40 million construction project to move our headquarters from Henderson, Nevada, to downtown Las Vegas, which is ultimately only about a 20-minute commute, but downtown Las Vegas has seen better days, and it's posed some challenges with our employees and things of that nature. So I've taken on the role of just being a bridge builder with the project, making sure our employees are engaged in the downtown area and prepared for the relocation, and then also being a good partner to the businesses and the stakeholders that are already in downtown, the thriving community that already exists there, to make sure that they feel that they're a part of our project as well. So that's how I spend the majority of my time.
It's interesting to me that this project is also really about innovating and changing the downtown and the feel of the downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not only trying to change a city, but it's about changing the way work is done and everything from how we're setting up our office environments and how we think of space and the needs of those spaces. So there's
a... Tell me more about that. Like, what do you mean? Because I know for a lot of listeners today, you know, and the public stuff that we would all know, you know, that you're going to have some trendy, cool places to eat. And, you know, Tony's always been really an advocate of saying, let's make sure it's a social place, right? So people get together a lot and that they actually spend more time and spend more money downtown. So there's a rejuvenation aspect to this, but there's also a social aspect, right?
Absolutely. It all really comes down to our culture and what we think is best. And the reason we chose downtown is we felt like it was, the energy down there was very supportive of our culture, and that we had the opportunity to build something really unique to enhance our culture. And so Tony's really big on what he calls serendipitous interactions and collisions. And so our whole office environment is set up to create those interactions. Even in our current office, it's a very corporate building. I'm sure that there were some great companies that used to have this building before we did. But there's entrances throughout the building that in normal companies, it's about convenience. So the door closest to the parking is the one that people enter through. But there's parking surrounding our building. And we made a decision to lock all the doors except what is essentially our front door. And that's to drive all the employees through one entrance so that they're interacting with each other. They're not just slipping in through a back door and then going right to their desk and starting work. So we're doing something very similar with our new building. And there'll be one main entrance. But we've also decided that we think the office environment can be spread across the city. And so one day I might want to sit at my desk and work, but tomorrow I might want to sit in a coffee shop and call that my office. So we're working hard to make that happen. In addition, we're really looking at mobile workspaces and how we design our offices to make sure that our employees can change at a moment's notice based off of what their needs are. So simple things like running power through the ceiling instead of connecting everything to the floor. So if I wake up tomorrow and I say I want to move my desk to the other side of the building, I can literally just grab my desk and move it and then plug into the stuff coming out of the ceiling. We're doing away with a lot of conference rooms and creating more kind of social spaces with couches and things of that nature. So it's an experiment all on its own, and it's a lot of fun, and it's really exciting.
Jamie, how do you manage something like that, or do you feel even compelled to manage something like that? I'm just guessing right now that there are some listeners thinking, my goodness, what if everyone could get up every morning and decide that they want to take their desk and move somewhere else? They're just thinking chaos, you know?
Yeah,
but don't
sure.
you need HR to kind of sit together? Don't you kind of need, you know, departments like sales and marketing? And do you have them group together, or can everyone just sit wherever they want? And if the coffee bar is your place, that's great, and you know, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, it would be a lie to say that there is not a whole lot of thought going on about this, and I can't take credit. My counterpart, his name's Zach, is responsible for the campus design and really working with leaders in the industry to try to figure out what desks are best and how you pull this off. But to your point about how do you manage this and how do you have employees one day decide that they're not coming to the office, they're just going to work at the coffee shop, and I'm sure some listeners are going to think, well, how do you even know they're in the coffee shop when they say they are, when the coffee shop is four blocks away from the corporate office? But we've created an environment where we're very much built on trust, and on the flip side of that, accountability. So with a high level of trust comes the need to be accountable to the things that you're doing, and we hire based off of employees' ability to use their best judgment, and we really trust that they are. So there's always a constant conversation between employees and their supervisors, and so nothing's being done without people knowing about it. So my assumption is that if tomorrow an employee wanted to go work at the coffee shop, his supervisor would be very well aware that that was happening and would be supportive. And also, not every job has that ability. So about 400 or 500 of our employees are call center employees, and they are pretty tied to their desks and to their phones and to their desktops. So it really depends on what your role is and within the company and whether working out of the coffee shop is doable for your job.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Jamie, I just want to say this. We're so glad you're here. We have to take a quick break, and I'm just so glad that we can talk about this again. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. This is Max Brown and my colleague Roy Saunderson with our guest today, Jamie Naughton. The Speaker of the House is Zappos. She's in the house today. We're listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Saunderson and Max Brown, along with our guest today, Jamie Naughton, Zappos Speaker of the House. Jamie, I was amazed as I was hearing Max introduced you today, where you talk about culture R&D. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever heard of research and development in culture in any organization, I think in the world, let alone just North America. What kind of research and development is going on to make this culture truly, I think it's so true that culture comes first at Zappos.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you do in the research and development to keep this alive, well, and thriving?
I don't sit down and say, like, okay, what am I going to do to fill my R&D quota this month or what have you, but it's mm-hmm. about constantly putting myself in situations where I'm exposed to how other companies are doing things and,
yes.
And not even other companies. We do a lot of research in positive psychology and what makes humans happy. So how can we take what science is saying makes people happy and flip that to make it make sense for a work environment? So we do a lot of different things. We read a lot of books. We visit with a lot of different companies. We take inspiration from everywhere and everything. And hopefully with all of these companies that I talk to, and some companies have really great cultures and some companies are struggling with their culture, but I think every company has something to offer. And through those conversations, some great things happen. And we take a little bit from everyone and make mm-hmm. it work in our environment.
Wow. Now I'm curious because that's just part of me. And do you experiment with some of these things?
Oh, we experiment all the time. We even have a scientist on staff. So.
Oh, this is great.
This is a reason development, too. I always say I manage my team consists of everything from executive assistants to a scientist. So
uh-huh.
I don't know how I get in these situations.
But you know what? That's the joy. It's so spontaneous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so we've recently added, like I said, a scientist to our team. His name's Jesse, and his mentor was Jonathan Haidt, who's kind of known for positive psychology. He wrote an amazing book called Happiness Hypothesis, which was kind of key to Tony's evolution with his book, Delivering Happiness, and what
right.
we've done here at Zappos. And he focuses on how groups work together and what he calls hive technology. And we learn so much from him. And yeah, I don't even know where to start with that because he's working on everything from redeveloping how we survey our employees to in what programs we launch and why we're launching those programs so we don't get stuck in this, well, everybody has a 10-year program, so we should too, kind of thought process, which is very natural for companies to do.
Right, right. So now I'm with that experimentation. Have there been some things that just say, you know what, this doesn't fit?
Gosh, I'm sure there have been. We're pretty good at soft launching things, so we make changes constantly. Like there's nothing that we launch that isn't a constant evolution.
Yes.
So things just kind of grow, and we're constantly soliciting feedback from our employees, and with that we create bigger and better things.
I love the fact that you said that, you know, your values stay the same, but it's the culture that changes,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's just a great insight from an organization that's truly living this. And I don't think a lot of organizations necessarily separate that, but you know, the values are solid. And I think they think that a lot of companies may think, well, we've got the values, so therefore we've already defined the culture, we're a done deal, wipe the hands, and mm-hmm. that's it, you know?
Right.
You're taking a very evolutional approach. What's driving that? I mean, is Tony driving this? Is it you driving this? Or is it just a collective mindset of those that you work with together?
It's every single employee. And one of the things that we do with every new hire, first they have to sign a contract that lists out our 10 core values, what those values mean to us. And they basically are signing saying that they're responsible for embracing and driving these values and driving our culture every day. So again, we've built our organization. It's a very flat structure where we know that good ideas come from everyone, and we support that as best we can to make sure that even an entry-level employee who's been here a month who has a great idea, that idea can be heard by Tony or whoever.
Yes.
So I think that a lot of companies face these challenges where if if our C-suite is not on board, then we can never make changes. Or if we can't get our managers on board, it doesn't matter that our CEO is for this because we can't make changes. And I think you start from where you're at and create bright spots within your company. So you may only have control over one department, but right. why not make that department the best department it can be? And I promise you, if you do it and you get it right and your employees embrace it within your team, other department heads are going to notice that there is something crazy going on with your department, and they might just want to get on board with that.
Well, again, it's all about action, isn't it? You're doing things. You're not just talking about it.
Right. And we do make a concerted effort to try to avoid bureaucracy, and it's hard. It's harder as we get bigger. It's harder as we become public. There's a lot of challenges that we face every day, but it's about constantly talking about those and asking the most important question we ask ourselves every day is why. When we want to create a policy, why do we want to create that policy? And you keep asking yourself why till you get to the root of that thing, and then you try to solve that root problem and not create layers and layers and layers.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, we all know you work directly with Tony now.
Yeah.
CEO. What are some of the kind of culture challenges you're now focusing on? Because he's driven this right from the get-go. What's some of the kind of the future stuff that you see coming down the pipe?
Well, I mean, everything that we're kind of focused on right now is getting ready for this move to, and we're taking our corporate office from a very suburban environment to a very urban environment. So the challenges that we're facing with our culture is making that transition. And how do you get employees who are very used to driving into work and parking right next to their building and doing their work within an office to, you know, parking is now three blocks away from the office. And there's things that you in an urban environment that are not in a suburban, like there's a homeless population and there's security concerns with our employees and things like that. So how do we get our employees ready for that? And we really think that with our relocation will happen fourth quarter of 2013, and we think from there should be a whole new look at Zappos and a whole new I'm sure there'll be plenty of news stories to write about.
I bet.
That's we are done with that.
I bet you you'll be writing the next book. How's that?
I don't know about that.
But this is very expert. Exciting. You're looking at orchestrating the environment to actually maintain the culture that you want. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Environment and your space is really important to your identity and to your culture. Just like your home represents who you are, your office needs to represent your culture.
Wow, this is very exciting. Now, you know, in Tony's book, I know there was a survey question that the Zappos used, which says, "My role at Zappos has a real purpose. It's more than just a job."
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a lot of people on the line and listening in are going to say, well, there's a lot of jobs, a lot of functions that are the mundane, the ordinary. How have you turned those job-like jobs into a purpose-driven contribution?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's something when I do speeches all over the world, and I get asked that question, and I think people forget that we sell shoes primarily, and where is the sense of purpose in selling shoes? And if you can create an environment where you have a few thousand employees who find purpose in their job every day selling shoes and clothing, you can find purpose in every environment, and every job does something that supports someone or something else. And for us, it's about reinventing customer service and creating an environment where customer service is everything to us, and it's not just one department, it's the entire company, and allowing our employees to take their jobs and things like in our call center where you might get a phone call from a customer who these stories happen every single day. We've had customers call and they are ordering shoes for their children because their house just burned down, and allowing our employees the ability to say, I want to do something more for this customer. So I'm going to go to all of my coworkers, and we're going to put together a care package of toys to give to these kids who just lost everything. And, and that might be an extreme example, but we're doing things like that every single day on every single phone call that really creates a sense of purpose. And now with, again, with our downtown move, we're trying to reinvent our city. Las Vegas is a unique city, and Las Vegas is known for many, many things, but we want our city to be about a family, a great place to raise a family. We want it to be about a city that makes you smarter, a tech hub in the middle of the desert. And so these are things that bring us purpose and passion every day.
So in reality, you're not just talking about a financial commitment to downtown Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about personal commitment as well.
Absolutely. That every the things that we face as residents of Las Vegas are very different than other cities. Like, most of us are not from here.
Right.
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who said that they were born and raised in Las Vegas. So we're not from here. And many stories, when you talk to people, they just feel stuck here, stuck by the economy. We're hardest hit from the housing crisis, highest unemployment in the country. There's so many things that are going against us, and we're trying to change that perspective, create a city where people want to be and want to live and want to raise their children. And ultimately, this does impact our culture, because if we want to keep really great employees, we need them to be happy and healthy in their communities and within their office environment.
Wow, what an original way of thinking, of making such a major contribution to your community. That's just fantastic. Jamie, you know how time goes by so quickly with our show. We're up for another quick break, but for our listeners, please come back in a few more minutes and continue listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio as we have this wonderful conversation with our guest, Jamie Naughton, about creating and driving the dynamic culture at Zappos.com. For Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, I'm Roy Sonneson and Max Brown. Come right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and myself, Max Brown. And, of course, our guest today, Jamie Naughton. She's Zappos Speaker of the House. Jamie, I'm really appreciative of, I know you have a lot on your plate, and but what gives you, what makes you smile about coming to work?
Oh, my goodness. what makes me smile? Everything makes me smile. And it sounds so corny, but we just really like each other here. And I'm not in the office as much as I'd like to, just because I have so many meetings outside of the office. But like today, I'm in the office, and the energy is great here, and the people are great. But I guess what makes me happy to get out of bed every single day, and we work a lot, so that every day is a work day. Is that nothing? That I basically control my career. I control what I work on, and we're doing really big things that are impacting a lot of people. So that definitely adds purpose to my life and my career.
How do you encourage others around you to feel the same way, Jamie? And is it even required of other leaders, you know, to focus on this? Or does it just naturally come, because as soon as you walk in, you feel the aura, you feel the positive vibes? What are you doing to help maintain that with your leaders?
Well, I think it is required as a leader in the organization that you're constantly focused on your team and what their personal passions are in their life and in their career. We have something that we call PEC, which stands for personal emotional connection. And that to us means, how are you personally and emotionally connecting with your employees outside of the job that they do? So my job as a leader is to make sure I know who my employees are. I know what's going on in their lives. I know who their significant others are, and their parents and their siblings, and really what drives them. So I have conversations with my team all the time about, where do you want to be, where do you want to go, and how can we get you there? That ultimately, you have to be happy in your job, but you have to take ownership over that. So what are you working on that you wish you didn't have to work on? And then what are you working on that's preventing you from working on the things that you would like to?
Wow. What do you say to people leaders that would be maybe listening and say, gosh, I'm afraid to go talk to people about that stuff because it might unravel a whole bunch of can of worms that I don't know how to answer and certainly not going to be able to deliver on?
Yeah. Wow. I guess it is tougher than I realize that we're really lucky here, and I don't have the answers for everyone, but there are things that our employees are passionate about that you wouldn't necessarily think impact their or can be beneficial to their role. We just give them the opportunity to be beneficial to the company. So we might have someone for instance, we have a guy in our call center who's really, really good at tech stuff, AV, putting things together. And we have a program at Zappos called Wishes. And someone wished, this is going to sound absolutely ridiculous, just know that I know that. the program Wishes allows employees to make a wish about anything, and then other employees can go in and grant those wishes. So somebody wished for an instant dance party in our lobby, and he had the skill set, and he's pretty passionate about putting stuff together in this field, and so he just did it. He just came into the office one morning and created... there's this box now in our lobby, and it says, whatever you do, don't touch this button. And as soon as you touch that button, house music comes on and lights start flashing, and there's an instant dance party in our lobby.
Come on. Do you have some good videos of this on YouTube?
I wish we did. I don't know. I can't keep up with everything that happens here every day. But I don't even think I noticed it until a few weeks after it had arrived, and I was like, I have to push this button. And I said, are you gonna make me dance? And they're like, I don't know. So I pushed the button, and then we all danced, and it was fun.
Roy, we got to go push that button. I just want to go experience that.
I know. She's pushing our buttons to push the button. I can tell
no,
you
that's know. Exactly right. I love that. What a great story. What a great story.
Yeah.
What other ways do you celebrate, Jamie? What are some of the – I know you guys just do some crazy, and you, weirdness is part of the values, and
mm-hmm.
people know Zappos as a fun company.
Mm-hmm.
But real work is being done. We understand that. So what are you celebrating and recognizing?
I mean, we celebrate just about everything. So, but I think we're as different as we may appear, we're very similar to a lot of organizations. So the things we celebrate every day are like birthdays and anniversaries and things. Promotions are a big deal. We just do things, I guess, differently, and we're getting ready to head into our holiday season, which is, of course, our busiest time of the year, and so there's lots of celebrations that happen in December every time we hit a new million-dollar milestone, meaning that we've broken our daily sales record for the day, and so we'll be celebrating that with some crazy T-shirts and happy hours and things like that. We just had Customer Service Week, which is nothing we created. We just happened to be online and heard that there's a week in October every year that you're supposed to celebrate customer service representatives. And of course, since our company is the entire company is focused on customer service, not just the call center, we turn it into just a week-long employee appreciation, and that included llamas and snakes and like petting zoos and
why wouldn't it include llamas? I mean, why not?
I know. Llamas, what's wrong with llamas?
I joke about this, and it's not supposed to be offensive in any way, but I always say if it works for an 8-year-old, it like works for a Zappos employee, and I think that's because we're all really just big kids at heart, and you bring in a llama and watch how excited your employees get, and you can see that they love it, because if you log into Facebook and hopefully your team is on your Facebook page. So of course my Facebook page, hundreds of the people on there are Zappos employees, and I log in. I can always tell when I'm missing something in the office, because there's plenty of pictures on Facebook. So now everybody has pictures with llamas. So it's,
oh my goodness, this is fantastic. I had a really great question all rolled in, and then I thought about those llamas, and I'm thinking about llamas on Facebook, and it just took me completely off. But this is crazy. I ask audiences regularly, has anyone ever had a bad experience with Zappos? And I, to this day, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, no one has ever had a bad experience. Now, it doesn't mean that it's perfect, right? Doesn't mean it's perfect. But right. The way they've rectified things, or the way they've changed things, or the way they responded to the customer was so incredible. What are your expectations for someone that does work on the call center line? Because you're not measuring them on call times, right? I mean, you're measuring them on something very, very different. And what is that? Describe this for us, because you also use the personal emotional connection there.
Yes, so exactly. So we're measuring them on how they are connecting with the customers outside of the product that the customer buys. So and that it shows that it has to be authentic to that employee. And so you may have an employee who's really like loves animals, and they hear that there's a dog barking in the customers, you know, in the background of the call, and so they have a conversation with that customer about, you know, what kind of dog they have or what have you. So it's really about not just being so focused on transactions that you're remembering that your customers are human and that you're connecting with them in a very human way.
Man, I just love that it has to be authentic to the employee, and it just can't just be, you know, like the rote, memorized version of, is there anything else I can help you with?
Right, right. And if an employee is not passionate about dogs, we don't want them talking about dogs, because that'll show through. So a lot of people think that we hire based off of culture, so maybe we are all just kind of clones of each other. And if you walk in our office and you meet our employees, that couldn't be further from the truth, that what we hire on is that every employee shares these 10 values at their core, that they're not anti any of these values. But how that looks in each individual is very different. Some of us are really shy. Some of us are very outgoing. Some of us will dance in the lobby, and some of us want no part of the dancing in the lobby. so it's about creating an authentic experience both for the customer and the employee.
Now, you do trust people to make a decision, right? So What if there is a customer experience that perhaps isn't as positive as you'd hoped, and someone's trying to rectify that? They go above and beyond. Maybe they send flowers, or they send something extra that costs cost more money, perhaps even more extravagant than a manager would have agreed to. How do you manage something like this? And do they still have free rein to be able to say, hey, you know what, you made the decision, you did the right thing by those people, let's move forward?
Absolutely. So we don't, anything that a supervisor can do, an employee can do. It's really important for us that when a customer gets on the phone and they, the first person they talk to, that's the person that can help them from the beginning to the end of their order. We don't ever want a customer to have to say, well, let me talk to your manager. Let me talk to your manager. Let the employee who knows the customer the best, they know the issue the best, let them handle the problem and let them use, again, if you're hiring for good judgment, let them use their best judgment on what that customer needs. And that means an unlimited cap on gift cards, so they can really take it upon themselves to say this customer deserves a gift card in X amount, and we support them in that. And that's not to say that employees don't sometimes make mistakes. And, and again, it's constant communication. You talk to that employee and you say, like, you know, this is what you did really, really well, and this is, these are things to think about on the next time this this call, a call similar to this happens. And for us, it's about embracing healthy mistakes. We want, if you're not making mistakes, then you're not being kind of adventurous enough. But mistakes should be healthy. They shouldn't be just crazy mistakes. And we have a history of making really big mistakes, and those have been written about as well. So.
And so repeat that for me again, though. If you're not making mistakes, you're not adventurous enough?
Yeah, like if you're not every once in a while going, should I do this? Then maybe you're playing it too safe.
How do you reward people for these kind of things? Because, I mean, maybe, you know, like you said, you're notorious for making some big mistakes. But you're not out there trying
mistakes.
To hammer people when they do.
How do we reward people when they do it right?
Yeah, because you're not hammering them, right? I mean, you're not coming down on people when they make these mistakes, so they really are rewarded for you. You're saying, "Hey, if you're being a little bit too reserved here, you've got to step it up." I mean, it's almost like you're giving them feedback. Don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah, definitely don't be afraid to fail, because we cannot innovate if we are not always on the verge of something going wrong or something failing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have a good answer for that. It's just, it's kind of built into our DNA, and if people make mistakes, we definitely talk to them about it, but we don't write them up, you know, because they made a simple mistake. We just say, maybe next time you should do it this way.
Maybe next time.
I see where your thought process was going with that, but
kind of thing, right? All right, I get it. I'm cool with this. Hey, Jamie, we have to take a quick break, but before we do, what would you say to listeners if they just want to make their place just a little bit happier, just a little bit more optimistic, maybe just a little bit more fun to work at?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? What could they do?
Oh, wow. Again, I think it goes back to what I said earlier. Start where you're at. You can't control everything. You can't control the outside influences, but you can control who directly reports to you, and just work on making that team really solid and building strong connections with those people. And you will find yourself in a happier workplace than you did the day before.
Boy, well said. To all our listeners, you're listening to Jamie Naughton. She's the Speaker of the House of Zappos. And for Vidoe's Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. We're going to finish up our last segment here with Jamie Naughton, our guest today, and she is the Speaker of the House at Zappos, and we're just learning so much about culture today, Jamie, and we certainly thank you for giving our listeners a great insight into all that you do.
My pleasure.
You know, there's so many Zapponians there. You know, how do you recognize Zapponians these days? I mean, what are some of the unique and great ways and practices and programs that you have? Give us an insight.
Oh, wow. Well, we have a few programs. I might have discussed this on the last show, but, you know, we have our Zoller program, which is basically every manager has a stash of fake money, Zappos money, that they can issue out to their employees, and employees can spend that in our company store, which is basically like logoed items, everything from sweaters to pajamas to kind of crazy little knickknacks. We have a coworker bonus, so every employee can give any other employee a $50 coworker bonus, basically just because they say they deserve it. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but those are kind of the staples. We have an anniversary program to recognize how long employees have been here, but it's really basic. I think the first year it costs us about $8, and then every year after it costs us about 30 cents. So we keep things simple. And one of our core values is do more with less. A lot of people ask me, well, that's, you know, everything you do is great for Zappos. You obviously have the budget to have a great culture, but we do things on shoestring budgets and just try to make
it. That's no pun intended, right?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I know it's great. And what do you? I've heard there's a hero award.
Oh, we do have a hero award. So that comes from our coworker bonus. So if you give another employee a bonus, you write this description on like why they deserve this bonus, and then at the end of the month we take all the submissions and we read through them. We pick out the top like five that we think are like stellar examples of our values, and then that goes to the senior leadership team, and then they vote on who is the Zappos hero, and then we do a parade and we give them a cape and a gift card to Zappos, and it's a lot of fun.
Great. So again, it's kind of like that culture of the fun spirit that we associate with Zappos is brought in to truly celebrate, as you say, just about everything, right?
Right, and that's our version of an employee of the month. We thought, oh God, employee of the month sounds awful. Like, let's stick a picture of someone in the hallway. But if you throw a hero's, like a superhero cape in the mix, it suddenly becomes so much more marketable to our team. So that's what we came up with.
Well, we've learned from an Emmy Award winner that we've had on the show where it was being nominated by your colleagues that is the most meaningful aspect, not even necessarily what you get, but the fact that you actually had your peers nominate you. And I think that's what you've built into this, rather than a manager, you know, saying, oh, who should I pick this month? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So while it is a management that's choosing the ultimate winner, it's the employees that are submitting
who
is involved in that. But we even have weekly things, what we call Master of Wow. That's strictly peer nominated. So Master of Wow, since we don't have assigned parking here, and it doesn't matter who you are. You don't get good parking unless you're here early.
Yes.
So Master of Wows, they get front row parking and recognition through our email system and things like that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, listen, I know that we've been having such a spontaneous conversation, learning so much more about Zappos. I'm sure there'll be questions coming from some of our listeners. How could they reach out to you if they wanted to connect and learn further from you?
Well, I'm available via email is the best way to get a hold of me. And my email address is just jamie@zappos.com, J-A-M-I-E. I do get a lot of emails, so just be patient with me as I sort through them and try to respond to everyone. But I welcome any questions, and if there's anything I can do to help people out there, I'm all for it.
Well, that's wonderful. We certainly appreciate your great sharing as you have. You've obviously gone through a lot of learning curves getting to the point where you are today. Is there any one thing you wish you could have learned so much earlier than you have now? Is there something that comes to mind?
Are you talking about me personally or Zappos as a
yes,
whole?
No, yeah. Like what you have learned from working at Zappos.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're at a point now where you're I think you're just cooking right now. What would have liked to have learned earlier and started earlier if you could have had that chance?
Oh my goodness! You know, there was a turning point in my career where I think it's just a result of being young and kind of unsure of what was going on around me. But I remember I had a really amazing boss, and she was always working on me. And she said that the only thing holding me back was myself, that I had the skill, I had everything I needed, but I just didn't have the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she told me that, I came back to her the next day and I said, I my new slogan is fake it till I make it. And so, and that's when I said, if I'm asked to do something or if I think of something and it scares me, I'm going to do it anyways. And I don't regret the timing on when it happened because it did lead me to where I'm at now. But I guess that was a lesson that 24-year-old Jamie walking into Zappos would have been. I wish I would have learned that sometimes you just have to do what you're afraid of to grow.
Exactly. You've overcome a lot of your fears and doing a remarkable job now at Zappos, and we're just thrilled to have had you on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Appreciate you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Well, we want to invite our guests to tune in for our next show, where Max and I will be continuing these great discussions that we have on building relationships, inspiring greatness, and obviously creating workplaces where people can thrive. We welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions. Just simply visit rideau.com/radio. That's rideau.com/radio. And give us your feedback. Tell us why you listen to our radio show, and we'll certainly send you some small token of appreciation for acknowledging your comments. So check back and see all of our shows at Rideau's Real Recognition Radio Library at rideau.com. Thanks for listening. And you can learn more about Rideau's Recognition Management Institute at the same website. Until next time, I'm Roy Sonneson and Max Brown, and we're reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Sonderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.